What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You guys, I don't know what's going on with me, because you know how normally you're the ones that are like, oh, I'm PMSing or whatnot. The past few days, I'm having what I would imagine is what maybe a lot of women experience with PMS every month. Because I have just been riddled with frustration, like in my veins, multiple times a day over the past few days, just surging with annoyance.
Oh, no.
Like, so many things. Like, I wanted to start the podcast a couple minutes late just because, like, I was like, if I don't complete this task right now, I know that I'm just going to be annoyed. And do you have this, like, I hate the feeling of annoyance. To me, annoyance and frustration, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They are the worst emotions. Okay, well, I mean, I haven't felt truly sad in quite some time. Well, you know, deeply affected sadness in quite some time. Mm. So, like, maybe I'm exaggerating when I say it's the worst emotions. Obviously, it's not the worst emotion. But it's the worst emotion that, like, I feel like we encounter regularly.
Yes, absolutely.
What a weird way to start the podcast. Yes, you are joining the podcast. That's how I started it.
She's frustrated.
I did an intro. I just said, we're getting started.
Well, I feel frustrated every time I have to wash my hair and I can't have anything touch me physically until my hair is dry. And that's like the PMS feeling I feel all the time.
That's so funny, because for me, the way I'm registering it, like, for my life is, like, anxiety. Like, that's my anxiety.
See, I don't know. Is that anxiety? Or is that just a frustration and just, like, leave me alone?
No, it's very different.
It's different, but not being able to, like, relax in another task until something is done, to me, is anxiety.
Okay.
Because that's, like, the behavior. Behavior is driving you and controlling you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then being annoyed is just like, ugh, this didn't go my way, or this person cut me off, or my coffee order's wrong. It's like, ugh, that's annoying. That sucks, you know? But anxiety is like, to me, it's like that, like that bubbly feeling in your stomach where you're like, oh, I can't fucking relax until this is done.
I like actually feel it in my veins though. Like, it just, like, I feel like I could become like the Hulk.
Yeah.
That to me is for me, it's anxiety. I'm not saying
that
it's for
just
you.
Means that's what you label it as. I think we're just,
I don't know. I feel like
I've gone to a million professional experts and have a million. And that's like, to me, that's anxiety for me.
It could be. I mean, when I feel the way that Ashley's describing, I feel like anything touching my skin, I'd rather not have skin at that moment, you know, like I'd rather just, I don't know.
Just burst.
Yeah.
So anyways, then that's anger. You're feeling anger.
Yeah,
and frustration.
It's actually probably anger, which is hilarious.
And frustration.
Anger. I mean, this is so embarrassing and ironic that you're bringing this to my attention, because the other day,
you go, I never get angry.
Jared got really mad and he said something happened and he was like, that made me really mad. And I was like, that shouldn't make you mad. It should make you sad. And he was like, why are you telling me how I'm supposed to feel based on that? And then I was like, I'm sorry. I guess, like, I'm just coming from
a
place.
You're such a stickler for labels and having them be correct.
I know, and he hates that. He hates that.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
I hate it, but love it. Like, I would hate if someone told me how I feel.
Yeah.
But I love that you're like that, Ashley, because it is really important to distinguish the difference between things. Like when you did earlier in the podcast where you're like, this is frustration. This is, you know what I mean? Like annoyance. Like it's so important. And I think kids growing up, like I sometimes don't even know how I'm feeling, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just called me out that possibly it's anger. So like maybe, okay. So then I said to Jared, I go, sorry, maybe I just, I don't really experience like being mad, like anger. So maybe that's why like I just don't register as like that being something that you should feel in that situation. And he's like, okay, so you just don't get angry. And I'm like, maybe I do. Maybe I just call it frustration.
Yeah, you do. I was going to say you as your friend, I feel like we all experience anger. And like when you, before we started the podcast, Ashley went like this.
Did you see that?
And so you
saw that?
And then it logged out and it was so funny. So Ashley.
Okay, I'm so glad you guys saw that. Because you guys.
It's gone.
So if you watch the Patreon, like Ashley had like her fists up and down and she was, but that's expressing anger and it's so important to do and no one does that because we all feel like we have to be nice and not like hurt anyone's feelings. But it's important to release that on your own by yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Just because
otherwise it just bubbles.
Yeah. So if you like tap our mic a little bit wrong, it kicks us all out of the podcast group.
Yeah.
So like I just tapped the mic in the slightest little bit in addition to all the anger I was already feeling.
It's just like when you're already having a bad day, you feel frustrated and then your coat gets hooked on the doorknob and you know what I'm saying? Like your pocket gets hooked on the doorknob and it just sends you.
It's the worst. Oh my gosh, the stuff getting on the doorknob. I think now that is an I don't get it.
No, that is
that
so
we've
annoying.
Never
like
actually
when a shirt
discussed.
Catches on. You're like,
yes. Or then, like, you guys, this happens to me all the time. My jeans, my belt loop,
the loops, yeah,
will get stuck on a doorknob or something like that. I'm like, physics. How is it that like my small little like opening for the belt like will just have to find its way to slip onto the doorknob? Nothing. And then you like pull your entire body and it's just like, oh, that's so annoying.
So annoying.
I think the topic of this podcast should be anger because I feel like we all feel it viscerally and can talk about it a lot. But I will tell you, working with my coach, like we have an emotional ladder to help me label Ashley because I'm not as good as you at labeling. And like when you're in the red and yellow, which is the bottom emotions, you can work your way up and it goes like red, yellow, green, blue.
Okay.
I wish I had my phone on me.
Why is there no orange in there?
You can Google like there's different ones. There's emotional wheels, but she calls it emotional ladder. And when you're like in the red, which is like despair and like, you know, hopelessness and like all that stuff, you can actually move up by getting angry about something.
Oh, okay. And so I can see that.
So this happened recently with, I told Ashley, and Lauren, you kind of know this, but big, like it was, I thought it was gonna, it was a failure to launch situation where I basically, as of now, I think technically ghosted by big. I don't know if it's not like I was waiting. I was definitely waiting to hear from
him.
There
wasn't like a technical thing he didn't respond to.
There wasn't like a technical thing he didn't respond to, but he was like, yeah, I'll reach out and like let you know. And like we were on this trajectory where I thought we were finally going to like be able to hang out and I haven't heard from him. So to me, that's kind of, that's basically like he's out of my experience. And so obviously I've been very sad and the last 2 months I've shared have been so fucking melancholy for me. And like, I don't know, I've just been crying a lot. And so I called Ashley and I was like really upset. And then I talked to my coach about it and she was like, I feel like it's time to get like angry about this. And I was like, God, that does feel better. Moving up the ladder where instead of being sort of victim to, damn, I really had incredible chemistry with this person. And then I'll tell you guys what happened with Aiden.
Yeah.
This last week, but I'm starting to get angry, Ashley. Yeah. And it's funny that you started the podcast with anger and it's like, it feels good to be angry, not mad at the universe because everything's perfect and it works out the way it's supposed to, but angry in the sense of like, I'm done mm-hmm. with like emotionally unavailable people coming into my life. Like, I'm done getting gigs that like don't pay what I, you know what I mean? It's like, you're kind you of like feel, putting in that order yeah. with the universe where you're like, ugh, enough. Like, I don't want this anymore in my experience. Anger, and it feels really good to be angry about it.
Such a more controllable feeling than despair. Because anger, you can feel like...
It's more empowering, too.
It's empowering. I was going to say, like, when you're working out and you're angry, you're going to be your best self. When you're working towards a goal and you're a little bit angry and you have a little bit of, like, a chip on your shoulder, you're going to work even better. So I feel like that's a much better place to be.
Have I told you guys that, like, when I'm off my acne meds that I'm stinky? Like, it's really embarrassing, but I'm extra stinky.
I didn't know that.
It's the testosterone thing, guys, you know, because my spironolactone blocks my testosterone.
Wait, so testosterone leaves your body and then it smells?
No, testosterone comes back into her body and then she gets stinkier.
More oils, more sweat. So I have been using my Lumi in overdrive, especially because it's all body deodorant. And when I sleep, I get sweaty, but I get stinky sweaty. Now, if I don't use my Lumi, and I can, you know, you guys know that you can use Lumi everywhere, your pits, your privates, your feet, your, I don't know, your chest. You can put it anywhere.
Your under boobs, thigh folds, because it's created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO is. And being misdiagnosed and mistreated. So it blocks odor all day and controls odor up to 72 hours. So you don't even have to worry about it for almost 3 days.
I just want to say, if you are planning on using it in your vulva, that it is pH balance for safe use below the belt. Beautiful, and it's actually proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. Isn't that crazy? So as a special offer for our listeners, new customers actually get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with our exclusive code and link. And guess what? For a limited time, returning customers can get $5 off their next purchase of $30 or more too. So use our code GETIT30 at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. And thank you, Lumi, for making this holiday season smell a whole lot better.
Okay, so do you want to tell us about Aiden now?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the short version of it is, you guys know I was like Big and Aiden were kind of like adjacent, and Big completely left my experience. And but every time I hung out with Aiden,
let's,
I was so good.
Let's also
good
clarify
at, like,
that this is not like the Big that we she was talking about.
This is
know,
like the
years
unavailable.
Ago. This is like the comparison that we just created.
That's
back in
so
like September
true.
When she was like, "I'm dating this guy. One is like Big, and the other one is like Aiden." But this is not like the Big of the podcast.
Correct. Wow, Ashley, I'm perfect. Yeah, that's good that we were accurate about that, because that Big
is
in my life is
married
now.
Yeah.
So this was like a new Big, but he completely left, and I was really compartmentalizing like my time with Aiden, mm-hmm. because I know that there's something there with Aiden, and I was grieving Big, which is so hard. To like be present, right?
Yeah.
Like with someone else. But finally, when I really started to get mad about that, and when I was kind of over that, I started hanging out with Aiden more. And Aiden, I was like, man, this guy feels like my best friend. Like, this is actually what I really want to end up with. Like, I want to marry someone who's my best friend. And I felt like I really grew, because I was like, enough with sort of wanting to feel chosen, mm-hmm. based off like childhood wounding and like really just like feeling so rejected by like the Big situation. I'm like, clearly that person came into my life to show me that I'm still really affected by those things. And like, clearly this person, Aiden's in my life to show me what I like really do want, and like feeling safety and all this stuff. And so finally I feel like I'm going so even more so present with Aiden. And I took him to an event I had last week. But as you guys know, there were energetic blocks with Aiden. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just something where, like, we went really slow, remember? And
no
I was like,
kissing.
I kind of like going
we
slow.
All know
I like that he hasn't kissed me.
No kissing, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but there was a part of me that was like, man, I feel like the energy of his ex is still around. Mm-hmm. Not that he wants to be with her or anything, but that he's still sort of really hurt by her. But we were going slow, and I was like, okay, whatever. And then I thought it was me self-sabotaging, picking at, like, external things that I'm not going to share about on the podcast that you guys know that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. There were like other things that I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about this, about him. And then all culminated to the event Tuesday where we went to dinner before the event. And I just felt like it just feels like he's half there. Have you ever been with someone that feels like they're half there?
Yeah.
And like, I just want to be sort of like really sexually like charged around someone that I have a crush on. And it, you know, when you're like, I don't know if you guys have ever felt this.
You know me.
Hunter,
I don't, if you don't feel sexually charged, I do not think you should be dating that person. I don't think that can grow. That's all my thing. I don't know. I don't know about that can grow.
But the thing is that we had moments like behind closed doors, but I like wanted it like publicly. Like I kind of wanted it all the time.
You wanted the making out in the Six Flags line. Always touching each other.
That's such a good
you guys,
example.
Before we move on, it'll annoy me if I don't just say, of course things That's can grow, so attraction can grow. But if you are like Naz and you've gone on multiple dates with somebody and you still aren't feeling like you want to like jump on top of them, I think that was a problem. That's all.
But here's the thing, Ashley, is I felt like that. I think I'm so scared of rejection. I've learned about myself that I'm not completely open and I need the person to do it first for me to feel safe to step into it.
Okay.
And so Aiden was half doing it.
And then
it.
You felt like, so I was icking him out by like going towards
him. I'm like,
him?
Does he like me? Yeah, exactly. It's not that I didn't want it. It was like, well, if you're only going to come this far, I want the man to lead me. I'm like, I'm scared. I don't want to go all in. Like, I don't know.
So you don't think this, and so, the scared? I think the scared makes you like him more. So I think that you in hindsight right now are probably liking him more because you like didn't get all that you wanted.
Wait, say that again.
Okay. Like because he was halfway in, it was sort of like a hard to get situation where like you,
he had this allure because he didn't give you
him because he didn't give it all the way. If you had him all the way, I wonder if you would have really wanted it.
I constantly ask myself that question with Big and Aiden and any guy because of my anxious attachment, which is something I'm always working through. But I will tell you that behind closed doors, Aiden was, we didn't have sex, but we did other things. And I felt so, it felt great, Ashley.
Okay.
Like it felt so great. And so then I was kind of wondering, it almost felt like he took a couple steps back. So when we got home that night, I said, I feel like there's a lot unsaid between us. Like, you know, when you're just hanging out with someone.
And I've never been in the room with you guys.
Yeah. Like there, I'm just like, there's so much unsaid and you guys have heard and like listeners of our podcast have heard so much that I haven't said to him. And he kind of opens up to me on how he's realizing through therapy that he doesn't feel like he's like fully healed.
Okay.
And I literally am like, holy fuck. I keep attracting emotionally unavailable people because here I thought Aiden was kind of all in compared to like Big, you know, he's like taking me on dates, like bringing me gifts back from trips. Like we saw each other
constantly
every week, like cooking for me. And I'm like, holy shit, Naz, like what's going on? So obviously that was a gut punch. We had like a really intense talk. You know, when the talk doesn't finish, he slept over because it was late. We woke up. And it was weird waking up next to each other because we're kind of like in this limbo. Like, well, what do we do? Because like, I still like you and like, we still want to get to know each other and we're technically going slow. And then I'm going to share something like a little more explicit on the podcast, but I've been open, but like, then it was weird. And then it got a little sexual it was like a crazy, if you guys, Ashley, if you had a camera on these 30 minutes that like went down right when we woke up, it was like a movie. Cause it was like, we woke up weird. Then it got sexual. Then he, fingered me and I orgasmed. And you guys know that that's really hard for me to do because I don't really feel safe with guys. So I had the most Ashley I moment where I had this like overcome with emotion. And then I immediately start hysterical crying because I felt so safe.
And then you're like,
and then I felt so unsafe. It was like reality set in where it was like, wait, but this person isn't like fully open, you know? Yeah. And then he started crying.
No.
And it was like this whole crying thing where we're like, God, we feel like we're like best friends. And obviously we came into each other's lives for a reason. And like, and then it seemed like it was kind of like the ending of The Graduate where you're just like, it seems like we're going to be fine and everything's going to be great. And then he left to get us breakfast burritos. And I'm so proud of myself because you guys know I'm studying Kabbalah and like, I'm all about like passing tests now. Like, I'm like, enough, like I'm getting angry. And I'm like, I could continue to date this guy and it could continue to give me instant gratification, like someone to wake up to, someone that treats me right, someone that feels like my best friend, but I really want it all. And so when he got back, we had a talk and I was like, listen, I feel like I can't keep letting this energy into my life anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not what I want. And like, if we're meant to be, like, it'll happen obviously, but like, I can't have this, like, my life is so, with my career up and down and uncertain, like I can't have this area of my life also make me, I suffer from anxiety.
Yeah, I was going to say, cause then like, you're just like going to overthink much. Every text from there on out. You're going to be like, is he over it? Is he more into me now? La la la. And it's, yeah, I could see the anxiety coming from that.
Yeah. Like, I want someone that's just like, it's you. And like, that's it. And you know what I mean? Like, enough. And so I'm really proud of myself and it's been really lonely. And like, I obviously miss him and I've been crying, but like, I'm, it's almost like a diet, you know, like I haven't been going for the candy.
Did you ask him not to reach out to you or?
So it's interesting. He texted me 3 times the next day, which was hard for me because I could tell he was like missing me, but I was really short because you guys know I'm not good with being friends and like I want to create space and I'm ready. I think he made me realize like I'm ready. But the last thing I'll say, because I've been talking forever, is
fully enthralled.
Yeah,
I really believe that you are what you attract. You guys know that I believe that, and so it's been really hard for me to sit and like I'm getting emotional thinking about it. But like,
easily just text him and feel good.
Well, that's, I don't want to do that anymore because it's like not trusting that God and the universe has like what you want perfectly, like on the way. But I'm emotional because clearly I'm attracting emotionally unavailable people because I'm emotionally unavailable. And like, it's really hard to sit with because I'm like, how am I emotionally unavailable? And like, when I think about it, like with Aiden the whole time, I wasn't even fully in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. I was also halfway. Yeah. I was also, and so it's because of my fear of rejection. Yes. And if I could just not be scared and go all in and be like, I like you, you know, and not have to wait for someone to come and be like, this is it. Like maybe the universe will be like, okay, she's ready for the guy to come now. And so that's been really hard. So I guess I'm emotionally unavailable and I'm still sitting with that and figuring that out. But it's been,
that's like,
I'm angry about it, which makes me feel better than being like depressed about
that. That is such a realization because it's true. Yeah. Like, you're either wanting Big, who's not gonna, and you're picking him for a reason because he's not
there.
You're
emotionally unavailable. And you're emotionally unavailable yourself. So you're like, well, that'll be easy.
All right. So what do we have to do? What do we have to do now?
What is the next step?
I think that's what's so annoying. I think with life, it's just trusting and becoming more aware. And I think I've talked to a lot of my, you know, friends about it. And I'm so lucky I have friends that like are helping me elevate and expand and call me out, you know? And they were like, you kind of knew in your intuition about this about Aiden a while ago. And so I'm realizing like I need to catch it earlier and not suffer so long through this. And it's almost like I was taking crumbs because I want to connect with someone so bad. So, but it's all really just, it's confusing. So I'm just kind of being aware of it. And next time I meet a guy that's like, something's off, I need to trust that in my belly and not keep going with it, hoping that it's like going to change. Because to me, it should be obvious and clear.
Did you feel like, you know, when he was like way more pursuing you and you were still very iffy at the beginning, did you feel like there was some remnants of his ex going on in his mind, or you weren't even thinking about that?
It wasn't in the beginning. It was more when we started really hanging in the last couple months. Cause you guys know I met Aiden this summer. So it was like, kind of like we met, we knew we liked each other, but then like, we didn't talk for a couple of months. He was like gone. And then he came back and then I was like, I wonder if I'll hear from him. And we did. And then we started dating and it was slow.
It was getting a little too real for him. And then he was letting himself kind of.
Well, I will tell you that when the first couple of times we really started hanging, he would bring her up.
Oh. Got you.
And I had, and I think he really wanted to be himself and share with me where he was at. But as a girl, right? Like, I kind of had to tell him like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm here to hold space for you as a friend, but like, I'm not okay with hanging out with someone and like talking about
it is so
your ex. Like, that's not, So then what happened, Lauren, is that he suppressed that and then felt like he couldn't be him. And he told me this when we were crying in bed together. And he was like, it was so funny because we cried and it felt like we finally let everything out to be together.
And now you're like, there's too much out there.
But I was like, no, I'm sorry. Like now that I know your heart's not open, I can't continue to date someone that I know his heart's not open. That's what I've been doing my whole fucking life. And I have to pass this test. But anyways, he was like, I've just wanted to share this. And I was crying and I was like, I just want you to know every time you brought her up, it made me feel like you didn't like me. Like it reminded me of like what I guess I already knew in my belly, which is you're not ready.
It is.
And he's like, I don't want to be with her. But I think when guys are hurt and like, just, I don't know. I think he was like, really.
There was a time in my life where I was like talking about your ex with like a new person is healthy
telltale sign.
Is what
I don't know. Remember, like, you see, guys, they tell you to do it on The Bachelor. They're like, you know, like, what's your past relationships that. Like?
I know, but yes, it's like,
Wait, let Lauren finish, and then I actually have to distinguish something because I need to be more specific.
You distinguish, and then I'll go.
Okay, what I was gonna say is, Ashley, I think you're right. I think it's so important and healthy to talk about it. But when you feel the charge in the conversation.
Yeah. I get that. Yes, for sure.
When you feel like, oh, this person's still mad at them. This person's still bothered by them. They're not completely let it go. That's when you gotta use your intuition. And he was like mad about, mad. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, this is bothering
you. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, there was a time where I thought it was really healthy to talk about your ex because that was an experience you had in your life. You can't take that away because then I feel like I'm hiding these certain parts of my life. And so I should be able to share these experiences I've had, even though they were with other people. I still live these years and that's who I am. So I'm going to talk about it. But it is the power behind it and the emotion behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're talking about it like, this is what happened and I learned from it and I'm so, you know, like maybe you're even grateful for it. That's like when you've really moved on. If you're like really pissed at that person, then like, well, there's energy there. And like, I can't.
I want to get to the I wish them well part. Of course. Not one of those snotty wish them well in a genuine I want them to be happy.
We'll happy talk for about them.
Exes with Hunter. I'll just say something very in passing and it'll make him very upset. And I know it makes him upset, but I'm like, I need you to understand the context of this is I wish them well, and I don't mean this in any longing way, but I need to share the story with you. Cause then I feel like I'm hiding from you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's how he felt with me. But then there was charge behind it, which makes me scared. Cause I'm already scared of rejection. So I'm like, no, I don't want to like turn into this driveway.
Okay.
Now,
I mean, what, cause the cat passing away was also something.
Oh, so that's when everything kind of culminated and I think brought up in therapy. Like, I think he thought he was over it and then that happened. And then I'm assuming this is me projecting,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And so that I think was like, oh, I'm still really hurt by this thing. And then and then it was kind of like still slow, but I'm like, all right, well, are we building towards something or not? Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
I think I'm really released though that like if we're meant to be,
that was my next question. Back, like you'd feel open to it later down the line if he seems like he's over it.
I think so, and it made me happy that I'm like, yeah. But it would have to feel right.
My last question about this: do you think that how long do you think it would have lasted if you didn't bring up this topic of like I feel that there's like some unsaid stuff?
I think that's what is really helping me get angry about it. Not at him, because like, I'm not mad at people for being where they are. Right. Like I respect people and like at the end of the day, we're honest, but that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, so would we have just kept hanging out? You know, like, I think I even asked him, I was like, so were you just hanging out with me? And he was like, no, I really liked you. That's, and I'm like, but what
so
is that
slow to do mean? Anything like, physical too, I think.
Yeah. And which is why I was so scared that wasn't, then progressing, because I'm like, at this point, you know, it makes you feel shitty as a woman. You're kind of like, am I desirable?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, And I don't want to feel that way. And that's why I'm not continuing to keep the door open, because I don't want to feel that
way. So do you feel the door is closed with Big at this point, since he has technically ghosted you? Yeah. Like, you won't accept if he texts you, you're like,
he
okay.
has not technically ghosted her, Lauren.
No, I'm just saying, like, you haven't heard from him for a while.
I think if Big called me 3 months from now and was like, this is what I was going through and I'm ready, and I, like, of course I would like take the date and then see, but I need to really catch those things earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I think I get really like hopeful and like hinge on the potential of people, you know.
Support for today's episode comes from Jenni Kane, and that is perfect timing because winter is coming. In my opinion, winter is here. And we love Jenni Kane. We've talked about it a bajillion times about how they have these classic, soft, timeless, I guess they're the same words, but that's what they are. Pieces, clothing pieces. They're the things in the closet that you're like, wow, I wear that a lot. And I'm going to wear it again right now because I like it more than anything else in there.
Truly, like their Flynn cashmere sweater, I'm telling you guys, it's the it item. It is the perfect sweater. It's like a wear with anything V-neck. And they also have a cashmere half zip, which is a really cool everyday staple. And both of those sweaters they have in like the best colors. But I'm telling you, the reason why Jenni Kane is the best is because these are forever pieces. So you're not like spending money on fashion that you're not going to be using again or donating in 2 years. You're going to bust this out every holiday season.
Totally. I'm so over this fast fashion. Like literally you buy a shirt for one time. This will be in your closet for 10 years plus to come. So gift yourself and your loved ones the best gift of all, Jenni Kane. Our listeners get 25% off your first order when you use the exclusive link jennikane.com/getit15. That's 25% off your first order at jennikane.com/getit15. Let's get getting dressed. Be one less thing to worry about.
And I just want to stress one more time, perfect gift, guys. You can put a little beanie or gloves in the stocking. You can put a nice sweater underneath the tree. These are things that no matter who they are, honestly, or what their style is, they're going to like this. Because it's just, again, classic.
Are you ready for my I don't get it? Yes. What is it going to be about, like pot
it's
roast?
It's actually fantastic. No, but hilariously, Lauren, I am going to prepare a steak for the first time tonight.
Ew. Wait, you've never the prepared catering steak? People, you love steak.
I've never made a... No, I don't love steak, remember?
I think of...
Steak's like... I don't get it.
I think of your steaks family.
And I don't get it. Like, I like it.
I think of your family when I think of steak because of your dad. Like, yeah. He was like, the poor
My dad goes to Capital Grill.
We literally went to Capital Grill last night with my dad. Hilarious.
I know, yeah. Because my dad has to go to like a nice steakhouse. It's this thing. It's a celebration thing, right? Well, Chris, the people that did the catering at Chris Harrison's wedding, they sent us some steaks. Mm. They're like really top of the line stuff. So we're leaving to go to Virginia tomorrow for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, well, I gotta make one of these steaks while it's fresh in the fridge, not freeze. So I'm going to make my own béarnaise sauce. And I know this is because I only like steak with béarnaise sauce. I mean,
what is béarnaise sauce?
Steak is great, right?
Is it that glaze?
It's definitely like some like it's a steak aioli.
A
steak mayo.
Oh, it's white?
Yeah,
it's like a
creamy,
yellowy.
Yeah, yellow.
I've never had that.
It's probably got like some egg yolk.
I feel like
in
it's
it,
a
maybe.
Mix of hollandaise sauce. Yeah.
Okay.
It might take a bit to make, but I got to make it. Okay, but what I was going to say is just as silly and suburban. It's so suburban. Jared said this the other day when we were driving around. He goes, I don't understand. I think he said, I don't get leaf removal services.
That's all our neighborhood has been the past week is leaf removal. And every day there's a sucker coming through to get rid of all these
leaves.
Should
we have a segment called So Suburban? Can I tell you?
You know how? Nats hasn't seen a leaf
No, that's not true.
I know
that's
Nats doesn't know leaf removal because
we have it in Florida and California. First of all, we have it in Florida.
Oh, okay. Really?
I was just going to say, remember what we were talking about with the door handle? Nothing drives me up a wall. My prison sentence would be listening to a leaf blower outside. I can't relax. Yeah. Like that sound bothers me so much. Mm-hmm. It's like the revving, and it's like, what do you? And I'm always like, do you have to be doing this now? But it's like, there's no good time. There's no good time.
Yeah.
No, but okay. So Jared doesn't get leaf removal, and now therefore I don't either because he's like, look at this lawn that has had their leaves removed. Versus look at this lawn
who has not had their leaves removed, it's so much prettier and cozy to have the leaves on the lawn.
Google moment of the day.
I'm sure that it probably has something to do with the lawn and the grass and like
the next
season.
I would think it has to do with the sewer. I feel like it gets too clogged if you let them like rain down and then go.
Oh, I would think it's clearly purely aesthetic because I'm OCD and I would hire a leaf remover.
You would, but like, doesn't it look nice? And it's so cute to have like the kids run through it on Halloween, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, but then eventually, don't you want
your grass?
But then, like, more leaves fall, more leaves fall, more leaves fall. And then, like, if you don't take care of it,
the leaves are like done falling almost.
Okay, this is what happens, guys.
Okay.
Leaves that are left on the lawn can promote snow mold diseases, which can cause significant damage to your lawn.
Oh, well, there we go. Right.
That could be it.
Wow. Learn something.
It will inhibit growth, mold diseases. That's what it is. Wow.
Lauren, are you looking at a tree like lawn service website?
I don't know.
I'm just asking because I found something similar, and then I was like, "Oh, this is a landscaper." Because then,
landscapers are trying to get you to pay.
Yeah, Lauren, what's your source?
The source is University of New Hampshire.
Well, we believe them.
Well, I'm going to turn my mic off now.
No, it's okay. It's University of New Hampshire. And then another one from turf.edu says it will smother the grass if not removed because it'll inhibit growth.
Okay. All right. Well, my father-in-law is the king leaf remover. The man, if there's one leaf on his lawn, he's going out to pick it up.
I love leaves.
I love leaf removing.
You're two different
The removing of anything makes... It gives me such a satisfying, like it's like crossing something off a to-do list. I feel so satisfied.
You guys, my father-in-law removed two beautiful trees that really made their lawn seem nice.
That's
because he was like, I don't want to deal with the leaves from those trees.
Like, you don't have to deal with them. Just leave them.
No, you got to draw the line somewhere. That's like ridiculous. That's so ridiculous.
Deforestation.
Every time I picture a tree getting cut down, this is so millennial, but I really picture The Giving Tree. Like, The Giving Tree was such a prolific book.
What is The Giving Tree?
Yeah, I don't know that.
You do by Shel Silverstein. There's no way you have not.
Yeah,
read
no, I
tree.
See it, but I don't remember the context.
There's no colors in Shel Silverstein's
books. So you didn't like it. A little bit. I loved
Isn't
the line.
Just
drawings?
Like a little colored pencil.
It was just so black line drawings. Guys, what Shel Silverstein? That was like my whole all the poems.
I definitely enjoyed. Lauren didn't. I liked it. Very
Lauren,
much.
Do you like poems or no? Do you like Dr. Seuss?
No. No, not really.
Whoa.
I really don't. I just love the Lorax because the Needville song. That's basically it. That's the only Dr. Seuss has ever spoken to
That's
me.
So fascinating to
That's
me.
Another tree-saving story.
Yeah. Dr. Seuss was a conservationist. We're so stupid.
Conversationalist.
Wait, what is the word?
Conservationist.
Thank you so much. Wait, Ashley, so does little Dawson have Dr. Seuss books?
He does. His favorite right now is it's like a spin on this is something that I learned. There's a few Dr. Seuss books out there that are not actually written by Dr. Seuss. Like, there's a follow-up to The Grinch that he didn't actually write, but it says Dr. Seuss on the cover, and then inside it says like written by so and so, like in the voice of Dr. Seuss.
Whoa, that's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. So, but his favorite right now is like a follow-up, which is like one of those to The Grinch. And it like has the buttons on it. And like he sees the little sound alert
movie to
picture.
Come out. That should be a movie. Like a sequel.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I love The Grinch.
Is Dr. Seuss alive?
No.
Oh, when then of course he's not writing a book now.
Well, I know. That's what I think
people
these books
will
have been
license.
In
I'm sure they
years.
License from the estate, you know, and then maybe.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss' death.
When did he die?
1991.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just to bring it real quick to end The Giving Tree thing, Ashley, I would love for you to read it again with Dawson. Maybe I need to get it for him because the end was really sad.
Well, obviously, he's a little older.
The end was really traumatic for a lot of millennial kids. Because the tree kept giving to the little boy, and then he kept giving and giving, giving, and then it ended up being a stump. And then it's like, and the boy loved the tree, but then everyone grew up and became, you know, the PC world was like, this is toxic. Like, we shouldn't be teaching, like, giving, like, giving at this level. And like,
oh, it would be an interesting conversation. Know your boundaries, tree.
Yeah, like it would be so interesting.
No.
For the three. Wait, on the topic of this, can you guys please pull up, because I don't have my phone, the meme I sent you of if Gen Z were lawyers, because you guys are going to die. And by the way, I spoke at Harvard, which...
Oh my gosh, we did talk about that.
I love Gen Z now. Like that made me really so meet a lot of them and like Your believe Honor, in the cap. Future. Okay, but read, Lauren, is that so funny?
Okay, Gen Z is lawyers. Your Honor, that's cap. Make it make sense. It's the objection for me. That's a lie, but go off. Your Honor, my client is an Aries. Chili? What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Okay, but did I ask? I got all the receipts, Your Honor. And that's on false allegations. That is so true. That is so gonna be it.
I love it. Like, make it make sense. Okay, but did I ask?
You guys, I can't with the it's giving anymore. The it's giving is, I'm done.
No, it's not. It's, yeah, I don't like the it's giving, but I love the, it's the whatever for me. It's the whatever for
that's
me.
That's fine. The giving tree is giving.
That's fine.
It's the it's giving tree for me.
Or like the, you know, I've always said stuff like, you know, I've always been like the vibe. I've acknowledged the vibe, but on Paradise this week, they were like, the vibe is giving or like
the vibe is giving vibe.
The vibe check. And it's like, guys, oh my God.
The vibe check. Guys, we're old. Yeah. We're officially old.
Giving the vibe. Oh my God. I know.
It's so funny.
We're so
as
some, old.
As like many of my friends are approaching their upper 30s now, I'm like, wait a second now. Wait a second.
Okay. So, I know Ashley hates that I'm the most morningest morning person ever in the entire world, but I didn't think I could love mornings more, but now I do because I have Hatch. The Hatch Restore is this device that wakes me up in the morning. It's on my nightstand and you can pick different sounds and lights for it to wake you up to. And I literally wake up to birds from the Amazon. Let me actually look up the actual name of the sound.
Birds from the Amazon, you know,
like that. That's what it is in my head. But I'll tell you what it is right now. I'm opening the Hatch app, and I wake up feeling like Snow White. Like the birds are just so amazing. I sleep with the pink noise. Okay, so let me see. Rise, looking up, like.
If I can wake up from like Ursula from George of the Jungle to Tuki Tukis and stuff, hell yeah.
It's see, I think of the birds feeling. From Snow White to be more of like suburban birds, but you know.
Well, now you can have suburban birds no matter where you live, thanks to Hatch. But it's been really helping my sleep lately. And the light also, as the sun is coming up, it lights up too. So you know the sun's coming up. It's so cool and it's stunning. It's really pretty. Everyone needs one.
Hatch Restore is a device that helps you build a consistent bedtime and morning routine so you can prioritize rest and sleep better, and therefore the rest of your life is much better. Great sleep can be learned with Hatch. 83% of customers report improved sleep, and they have a 60-night money-back guarantee, so if you try it for yourself, risk-free.
That's a pretty impressive stat. So right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/get it. Great gift idea for the holiday season. That's hatch.co/get it to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/get it.
Did you guys see the episode of the Kardashians? Have you guys watched this season?
I've seen all of it.
Yeah, okay. I saw everything but last week.
Okay, I need to catch up, but I did remember when Kim was like, I'm a millennial. I'm in the same age bracket as like Kendall and Kylie. And Courtney is
by definition, she is like she's the, wow. the first
she's an elder
year
millennial.
And like they're like the last year.
Yeah,
Courtney didn't make it by like 1 year.
She was like,
she
Courtney's
doesn't deserve that. To make it. Yeah.
So funny.
Wait, so what? She's a Gen X?
Yeah.
Kourtney Kardashian is Gen X. That's so wild.
By the last year of Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So wild.
Okay, well, so Ness, what's funny in that, like, I would like to tell you on the podcast. So Laura and I, you know, planned the secret podcast, and I had 100,000 people see on my Insta story that we were doing a secrets podcast. And then Lauren had, like, you know, the Facebook group and her Instagram and all that. And we received zero secrets. Can
zero.
You believe this?
Wait, so what'd you guys do? I have to listen to it.
Now we need to ask you if you had any story, any secret story prepared.
Any secrets with me? Let me think. Do I have a secret? No, I feel like I didn't know if I was going to share the moment with Aiden in bed.
Yeah.
But that I think that would have been my secret. But I was like, it's more important to share, I think.
I like it. Since I've we been all appreciate that.
Yeah.
Did you know that Lauren reached out to Matt Blessing?
Yes, because yes. Lauren okay. texting, we were both in on that together a couple yes. weeks ago.
Okay.
So but Naz, I didn't
wait,
tell you
did
that
you
he
get
responded.
In contact with Matt?
He responded and he said he does not want to come on the podcast.
Oh, you don't want to like come and air your
yeah, but your he does drama? Say like I would love to catch up if you guys wanted to whenever you're in town. Blah blah blah. Very kind and sweet man.
Ashley, how'd that make you feel?
Very, very giddy and hilarious. Like very giddy. Went right back to the sixth grade lunch with the mediators.
That's so funny.
Okay, so this is my weird train of thought, and this is what we do on this podcast. And I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, we have a couple minutes for this. He always reminded me, like, as a child, I was like, oh, he's like a little young JFK, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Jared went to
Only Ashley is
Dallas.
Comparing six-year-olds to presidents, by the way.
Correct. Six yeah. graders, but okay.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Jared went to Dallas and he did the First Look episode. It airs in a couple weeks. And he went to the Lee Harvey Oswald supposed shooting site, okay?
Mm-hmm. Alleged.
Alleged. Mm-hmm. So we were then Jared's like just he's been talking about this a lot, all the conspiracy theories of the JFK assassination. Mm-hmm. And just oddly, the other day he was talking about it and he was looking it up, and then there was like another documentary on the History Channel that aired that day, so we were watching it and
about
he learned
Lee?
A lot. About yeah.
About the assassination.
Yes. About Lee specifically, actually. Whoa. More of like it's all about that theory, which that theory is absolutely
wait, can you guys because I feel so like you guys wrong. Are talking remember how like I don't know all like American history, history in the way you do because I didn't grow up in Virginia.
Well yeah, I don't even know like the what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, so can you give me more okay. context, Ash? What is the Lee yes. Harvey Oswald? Lee Harvey Oswald is this movie?
Yeah. Yes.
What's okay. what is that theory?
So that he shot out of a sixth floor of a building, and right. that he was like the official theory from the government, I guess, is that he was the quote lone shooter.
Uh-huh, yeah, but
and that
guy.
He did this shot, mm-hmm. Which hit the governor who was in the car with him, and then but he didn't it wasn't fatal, and then it was JFK.
Now, one listen. Shot or two shots?
Multiple okay. shots. I think that
it wasn't like
I'm
the
so
same
sorry.
Bullet went through one person through another.
No, but that
is that
what,
possible, Lauren?
Yes. This is where it leads. This is where it leads, Naz. Okay.
Wait, so that means you technically,
I think
when I say I
bullets?
Take a bullet for you, that's like not even true because it could just go right through
hit
me
you
into
too.
The person.
Yes. That's so no. That scary. Is what they call the magic bullet theory, which is part of the actual governmental theory. Like this is like the what they like to say, this is what happened according to the government, that there was a bullet that effing went through JFK, I think, went into the governor's shoulder, then through his wrist, and then through JFK again. He's like literally bounced through yeah.
like what is this
like
a Disney
holes.
Animated cartoon
correct.
Or the Looney
yeah,
Tunes
yeah like ding 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 yeah. ding like in and out of people's body at full force
like
and
pinball.
Then when the and then randomly the magic bullet was when it was found it had no blood on it after going through multiple body parts. So there's just absolutely this is it's just not
it's
a thing.
Plausible,
the Lee Harvey no, it's not even plausible.
Oh.
Because like
how
the type of shot
it,
that
Lord.
It would have been, the guy like didn't know. He like was just like a kind of a novice shooter. And the shot would require like sniper precision.
Oh, okay.
So it's just really crazy the amount of things. And then the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald, Naz, I'm not sure if you know this.
You want to
died.
Say Harvey Weinstein. You keep going. No, really? Lee Harvey what? Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oswald. It's really hard to say Oswald.
Yeah.
Lee
yeah.
Harvey Oswald.
He was shot 2 days after his arrest, which get this.
What?
In this present day America, can you imagine this? Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested and was the main suspect after 1 hour after the shooting.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
1 hour after the shooting, they had him in handcuffs and like presumed to be the killer. And then 2 days later, this guy who was the head of he was the owner of like some club. He had mafia ties, kills him
Lee Harvey Oswald Weinstein in the stomach and kills him. Like, it's just like, then the main suspect is dead. Like, there's just no,
yeah,
there's
it's
just
ridiculous.
There's,
yeah.
Absolutely, there's, it's 100% another
conspiracy
situation.
Theory.
And yes. Then, guys, get this. JFK dies in the car, goes to the hospital, and he's mm-hmm. already, his dead body mm-hmm. is on the plane on the way back to DC within like 3 hours. How? Within between 3 and 4 hours.
Covering
after the murder.
Up.
But is that because of like a president? Because it was a president, you know? No, like they just like, I don't,
the
I
autopsy
don't know.
Was done.
The autopsy was done, they said. Oh, and get this. The autopsy, they,
there's more.
Yeah, there's more. So, all these things that I learned. See, the this is suburban. Suburbia. I don't get it. Ashley and Jared watched.
So suburban.
They watched JFK documentary conspiracy theories on a Saturday night.
It's literally my dream life.
The brain, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then the brain, which they did an autopsy on, mm-hmm. Automatic. They sent him back. They sent him in the plane without the brain in his head. Because they like wanted to keep it as like part of the National Archives or something. Because like apparently
3 hours after he got shot, they already discussed
the
archives.
Yeah, they took the brain out of his head, and then it's lost, guys. They brought it to the National.
What?
They like put it in the National Archives, and within 3 years, it was lost. Nobody knows where the JFK brain went.
So the mob obviously wanted to get rid of it so that Lee wouldn't be. Like,
no, just like they wouldn't want to get rid of it because someone else shot him and they want that guy to go free and they don't want the trajectory of where the bullet came from to be found.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's because that's the other thing is apparently according to the autopsy, the brain had the bullet coming forward.
Correct.
Into the front part of his brain when it should have been coming from the back part of his brain.
So that's why.
Yes.
So then what is the actual theory? Like what are the conspiracy theorists saying? Who actually killed JFK?
There's just the mob is one. And if you look at like the documentaries that are episodes and episodes long, they'll have
different
episodes dedicated to the different theories.
So Lee wasn't in the mob.
Just a scapegoat.
Lee was just a different. He was.
He may have been like part of it, but he certainly didn't act alone. Like
probably
it's almost impossible for
mob.
Him.
Yes.
Yes. That's
and then the mob was like, "We're going to kill you because we don't want people to find out we hired you."
Yeah, that
just
is
like a suicide bomber almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why? What is the alleged reason why Lee shot him?
Would do it?
Or the
because
mob
don't even
him
know.
Dead.
I don't even know. Except for I remember them saying that like he had ties to like. Russia, and it was like part of the Cold War.
Wow. Fascinating.
Anyway, this was like drunk history, guys. So holiday shopping time, it's just quite the doozy on your bank account. If you want to make sure that you're shopping with a budget in mind, that you're not going like so far over your like allotted spending for the month to stay.
Allotted.
I mean, most people like want to stay within a certain amount, right? If you don't want to get into basic credit card debt during the holiday season, because now that I have a kid, I understand that like it's tempting and it's fun to buy for them. You do it with Rocket Money, guys. Keep your finances in order with Rocket Money. So if you don't know what Rocket Money is, it is a personal finance app and it finds and cancels your unwanted subscription. It also monitors your spending, which is going to help with this particularly. And it helps lower your bills all in one place. Yes, you're like, how does it help you lower your bills? It's very crazy. But like, say you have a cable bill and you're like, well, I wonder if I switch over to another cable company, whether or not like I could get it that lower. That's what they do for you. It's nuts. There's over 5 million users and counting, and Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year.
It's crazy.
And $1 billion in total savings so far for all their customers.
Yeah, I love that they can also even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to like 20%.
That's all for you, Naz. That way, like somebody else, you're negotiating. What are you doing? You're
Wait, what do you say?
You're delegating.
Delegating the task
to someone else.
I am the outsource queen. So outsource. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. It's so easy. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions, especially before the new year comes up. I mean, no one hates getting emails the day before New Year's more than I do. And manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/get it. That's rocketmoney.com/get it. rocketmoney.com/get it. While we're on the topic of conspiracy theories, I want to send you guys a video I saw on Instagram today, and I want you to watch it about the missing flight. Have you seen
it? Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch that, like, when the documentary came out a year ago?
No,
March?
I don't know anything. So you guys are my people for this, because I don't dive into these things. But send I saw this video over. And I need you guys to both watch it. Hold on. Okay. I just sent it to you guys.
Perfect.
It's about the flight MH370. Mind-blowing new information. Satellite and thermal imagery of the Boeing 777 over the Indian Ocean. The leaked drone footage and 3D reconstruction reveals a deeper look into what may have happened on March 8th, 2014. This is a Malaysian flight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess this under this theory in this video, there are three spinning orbs that are like UFOs that reached a certain velocity and created a portal for the plane to fly through. And this challenges everything we thought we knew about reality, relativity, and classical physics.
Okay, so now we're bringing aliens into this?
I mean, we have to. They're here.
Is it aliens or UFOs? Because...
what's the difference?
Like, there's like...
There could be a difference.
The UFOs are kind of like part of like the theories in general that like there's some weird satellites that some countries threw up there and then they made it so that we couldn't see around the airplane. Like those theories exist. But to say that now they're aliens that possibly did it...
Did they ever find any part of the plane ever?
No.
Never.
I don't think so. Do not take my word for it. I have no idea.
I cannot speak on this.
I need to watch the full documentary, but do you guys say documentary or documentary?
I go back and forth.
Documentary.
Documentary, because that's how
even though it's probably documentary.
No, it's documentary, I think. Anyways... that's interesting. I mean, if they didn't find anything, yeah, I obviously think that it's an alien abduction. But
I don't know. I think it was the captain. The more I hear, I think that's the captain.
But what? How would where they still did it not go? Find? Yeah, where is it then, Ash? Like the floating devices aren't
way,
even found.
Way to kick me in the ass really quickly.
We just said that.
Yeah, like if it was like a suicide mission on behalf of the captain, it like why did it also down. Just mysteriously disappear?
Yeah. Like, that's the whole point is no, it's nowhere to be found. It's one of the most radar. Perplexing things in our history.
Would you rather like, has be no in a answer. Plane crash or go through this alien portal?
Go through an alien portal, obviously.
What? I know your answer. But
you think that it's going to a portal, so now it was taken into the
universe?
You didn't
watch the video that like, yeah, that there was like a certain speed.
Sorry.
And then the plane disappears. There was a portal opened and the plane disappeared.
Okay.
It's like
I was
quantum
just looking
physics.
I was just looking at it circulating and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So UFO. Okay,
they're just living on another planet right now.
Well, as our problem is in today's society is that like this is so like everything is just so
right. Like you can't
AI.
Like, yeah. You can't trust what you see anymore. But I think this is so clearly
this is
a theory.
Absolutely not.
It says in the caption.
This
it's
is just
theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is just a mock-up really video. Okay, hold on. The satellite video. There's no way that the satellite video is a fake, though, they're saying, right? Because if we don't have actual video of it.
Since we're getting deep onto conspiracy theories and whatnot, I was watching Goosebumps, the most fabulous show on Disney Plus, okay? With Justin Long, who is the funniest person of all time, that basically the premise of the show is that this guy brings like werewolves and real actual like scary things to the world. Like, you know, vampires are real, werewolves are real, all this stuff is real.
Werewolves are Weinstein.
Werewolves are Weinstein. And do you think there would actually be like war in disputes amongst different countries and stuff if we had to fight against werewolves and vampires every day?
Or that like be our we common, had actual superheroes?
Would that be our common like denominator? You know, like what we
if
all...
If we all had a common enemy, as we've seen in all movies, like if aliens came, then yeah, I feel like all of a sudden Russia, China, like everyone would be best
friends.
Everyone
would be like, we just have to survive this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why guy all was like, war is so annoying.
They're just, you're making up issues when we all should just be fighting werewolves. Anyways, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was like, this evil man does have a good point, you know?
Do you know what scares me about werewolves is, like, I feel like they would be hot, like, during the day in real life and would totally be my type.
So
and
you're so, basically just talking about Twilight.
Yeah, but that's, but yeah, exactly. But yeah. What I'm saying is, like, if werewolves actually existed, I feel like I'd only be attracted to werewolves. And that would be a
problem. I would only be attracted to vampires, probably.
You're also talking about, like, Teen Wolf, and that guy's cute, too.
Yeah, I never saw those, but I know people are obsessed with Teen Wolf, which reminded me, you guys, actually, Ashley, I don't know if you'd like it, but Lauren, you'd be obsessed with the movie Saltburn if you haven't seen it already.
Oh, it's I'll totally watch it. My top five
favorite movie of the year.
Saltburn?
Okay. Yeah, it's Jacob Elordi.
Oh, why is he so famous right now?
He is the man of the moment.
Well, he's playing Elvis.
Because he came, he was, you know, he's just the hottest actor right now. He's from Australia, was in Euphoria, but I feel like this year he really stepped into being like a bona fide movie star playing Elvis and in Saltburn. Like, you're going to be so obsessed with the movie Saltburn. It's so fucking good. It's like funny, fucked up.
I love
it. And so much fun. Okay, like, and that's all you want from a movie. It's like you're laughing. It's a thriller. It's like a fucked up, talented Mr. Ripley.
Love it.
Yeah. And Jacob's really hot in it, Ashley.
So fucking cute.
Yeah. Do I think that he's like, is he hot? Is he as hot? Is he hot? Because like he's hot in pictures, but he's not like, I wouldn't die over him. Is he like,
I think you would die. I think you would die over him if you met him in person.
Yeah.
I think he's like, he's kind of the, I mean, no one's Harry Styles, but I know you guys saw Harry cut his hair.
You guys, like, so like we should really talk about Harry cutting
his hair. Let's all light a candle.
Like, why, like, what was going through his head? Like, did he decide that he just didn't want to be as hot anymore?
Why did you say let's just...
You guys, hilariously, right next to me is my Harry Styles prayer candle.
This is a social clip. This is a social clip. Watch our podcast. Subscribe. Wow.
I mean, I don't think he looks terrible.
No, he doesn't. He has a great face, but why would you not look your best is my question.
Maybe it's for a role.
No, I don't. I feel like this is a rebellion moment.
Maybe he's reinventing himself for his new album, his new music.
No.
Before we talk about Harry, we were talking about Jacob Elordi and how you like him and what he say to you, Naz. Or did he say anything?
Nothing. I just met him briefly. So I went to the after party because I always like to meet actors, obviously, for future interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really am so good. I make it a point, like, within the first hour to make sure I, like, go up, say hi to everyone, introduce myself. I'm Naz. Like, I work for these people. And I was just like, man, you are, like, killing it. And he was like, thanks so much. And he's just very smooth, very nice. Doesn't have that... It's just, he's so like big right now, Ashley, that it's like there were a million people around with photos and cameras that I can't, it's almost like kind of uncomfortable. Like I wouldn't like that. Like anyone he talks to, like he's sitting on the couch, right? Talking to people. And there's just like a circle of people with their phone out.
Yeah.
Just videoing him talking. Like, isn't that so, I don't know. So I can't like speak to him, you know, like. To who he is. I obviously met him in like 2 minutes. I was just like, hi, I'm not. He's like, thank you so much. Thanks for watching the movie. And that was it. But he's like so big time right now.
Yeah. So yeah, big.
I know. He's
so
all cute. Over the Instagram.
I love it. I think I really have. I think a lot of people are really attracted to him because his toxicity in Euphoria is so like.
Yeah.
Toxic that you just crave that.
Yeah. You're going to be
crave being fucked up like that.
Exactly.
When you see Saltburn, you're going to love him so much, Lauren.
I wanted to ask if you guys have been watching Special Forces just because it's my favorite show and I love watching Nick cry all the time.
I have watched it in the background and then I pay attention for Nick moments only.
So for everyone listening, Special Forces is a reality show.
It's a reality show.
Nick, and we're talking about Nick Viall. Nick Viall. And like Tyler Cameron's on it. I have not seen it, but say more about it for people.
Honestly,
who don't know about
it's so awesome because it's like you're seeing your favorite people. I mean, Tom Sandoval's on there, which is so fun to see for everyone who loves Bravo. Yeah. Tyler Cameron seems like such a sweetheart. He's helps everyone out on the show. Special Forces, they're just going through the hardest obstacles that like the highest of the military go through. Mm-hmm. And you don't go home if you lose a challenge. It's just all about your mental game and just staying in the game.
And so, building like, mental, up probably it's not like mental healthy game masculine, though, Lauren.
It's
you know?
Not like a game though. That's what's nice about it. It's about it's a, not game a game within your. It's just a challenge within yourself.
It's like, a challenge within yourself to stick with it.
How much you can
it.
Push yourself.
Yeah, how far you can push yourself.
Yeah,
so cool. And Hunter's like, ugh, me and this would be me. I would crush it. This is me in another life.
Is he gonna like fanboy if he ever meets Nick now?
He loves Tyler. Oh, okay. He's just like, that's a stand-up guy.
You know what's interesting is like that. I haven't watched the show, mm-hmm. but like Tyler could use a lot more of that publicly, like on social media. Because I feel like the perception of Tyler isn't that of what I'm sure he really is.
That's what he kind of says on the show, actually. He's like, yeah. I don't want to sound like a loser, but I am just like a piece of meat. Like I am just a sex, like... What's the word? Like a sex symbol?
Panther?
He's just a sex symbol. He's like, but I want to be no
sex
more.
Sex panther?
He's a sex panther. A beautiful man. But yeah, he's that's just like a really hilarious. Sweet guy. And him and JoJo
who is he
are
dating
really
these days?
I don't know.
Him and who are really close?
JoJo Siwa.
I like JoJo Siwa more than I've ever liked her before. Not that I had a well-rounded opinion on her, but like based on the show, I like.
I think you really like her too because she's obsessed with her family and her mommy. Aww. I think that's why you feel. Really
I interviewed her at the close. People's Choice Awards. She's she's done so much for so many people. Like she's highly influential. I love her.
It's a great cast. I just want to say, watching the show, I feel like I think it's a reality show where it actually truly shows like the heart of the people that like get characterized on the shows that they're known for.
I think we're finally getting to see more reality shows that have more consciousness and more heart, which are all about like the betterment and the development of the person, mm-hmm. like coming through, having learned a lesson and like working on themselves. Like I feel like I'm seeing that. I don't even watch reality TV, but I feel like I'm seeing that across the board. In new reality shows.
If you could watch one episode, Naz, I would just want you to watch the Special Forces.
Which
I think
one?
It's a fifth episode. Just even the background, just like listening to all these people like cry and work really hard. And like, it's not bullshit. And that's why I really like it. It's not like overly produced, I don't think.
Well, now that we're talking about reality TV, I do want to give a shout out to our joint friend, Jessica Namias, who has a new show that she executive produced. I think she's the showrunner on it. She was actually showrunner and executive producer. It's called Twin Love on Prime, and it's also on Freevee. Now, I thought it was something that would be just an interesting topic in general to talk really briefly about. So it's about twins. And like I feel like Lauren and I
Bella,
can almost
you guys do act
like
twins.
Relate to this, Lauren, to see like how we would be.
Okay.
So what it is the Bella twins host the show and they have two houses next door to each other, and they split up identical twins and then they put them in dating situations. One twin goes to one room and one house and the other twin goes to the other house.
Okay.
And then the whole premise is to see like if they connect with the same twins in a romantic way. Like, do they end up dating like brothers or such? Because this is statistics here. It's mostly romantically based to see like if they will couple up with
this is
like
very
siblings.
Fascinating.
So I like know. It's basically just like twins are dating these twins into the same into other twins.
Yeah. Okay. But this is the stats. Did you know that identical twins often get married at lower rates and later in life than non-twins? And did you know that they start dating and lose their virginity later in life as well?
Identical twins?
Yes.
We gotta have identical Haley twins and Emily on.
They're not identical.
Oh yeah.
They're not identical. That's very fascinating. Right? I feel like because they're just so close, it's hard to like break up that bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like nobody's gonna compare to that bond, and they like immediately have somebody who's the exact same as them. So why would they need to search for like a partner if they are born with a partner?
No way. That's fascinating. Like they're so full
weird.
From feeling seen because all we want to do is find someone to understand us, make us feel seen.
Yeah.
Wow. So we should have identical twins on our podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them
their
from the
brain
show
makeup
come on.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. We should definitely have somebody from the show on. We have to watch this. Yeah. So you guys, just if you are interested, Twin Love on Prime.
Wow. Amazing.
Fascinating.
Reality television. Love it.
All right.
I love it.
Okay, guys. Tune in next week. Everyone loved our what we're having for dinner, so we may have an episode of what we're having for dessert.
What we're having for dinner, and then we'll do a what we're having for breakfast and what we're having for lunch.
All right. So talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I don't get it. Podcast.